dive into that, let's just review that we are going through a series entitled Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. It's based off a book written by Pete Scazzaro. I've modified it for our study and our church for each of the lessons. Tonight we're looking at one of the major ways to avoid the pitfall of shallow discipleship, and that's being with God more so than doing for God. We do both. They should be equal and not off balance, but we must prioritize being with the Lord. That's our intimate relationship with Him. That's falling more in love with Him. And I certainly hope that we all can relate there and understanding how important it is to just understand the concept of being with our Lord daily, so that we can be rooted deeply to be able to serve Him every day in a world that lieth in wickedness, as the Apostle John says. So, the goal of true discipleship, as I have written here, is to grow deeply in love with Jesus so that our service for Him flows out of a full heart. How's your heart tonight, brother? How's your heart tonight, sister? Your goal as a disciple is to have a full heart full of Jesus, and so that you can just let it, your life be a flow when you go home into the workplace, into your neighborhood, and into your various activities of life. And we see here three facts about this being with Jesus that we understand. You cannot give what you do not possess. So if we don't have a walk with the Lord, that can't go over into other people around us. What you do is important, but who you are is even more important. Do you believe that? It's very true. I mean, we can go through the motions of being Christians, but what's more important is that we are believers. We are followers of Jesus, and that's truly what counts. And then the state you are in is the state you give to others. And that goes back to one of our lessons. I think it was probably lesson two, how we talked about how, the spirit that you're currently in is absolutely going to impact those around you. So if it's a negative irritability type of spirit that's frustrated or weighed down, if it's one thing to have seasons of that, and we all do. No one's saying here that you're not going to go through a wave of that. We're human, we're frail, we're fragile. We do, don't we? Don't we? Yes, we do. Here's the key. We can't stay there. We come out. We confess it as sin. I had a bad day. That was a bad evening. I'm so sorry the way I acted this morning. This was a bad few days. I've been, and God forgive me, and then I need to apologize to those that I've negatively affected. Amen? That's the goal. So four ways to be with God before doing for God. I'm going to go through these quickly. So let's look together. Number one, we have to make a radical decision. It doesn't happen by accident, and we have to realize that we are all vulnerable. We are all susceptible. We're living in a world that does get messy. Everybody in this room has entered into some kind of mess this week, I guarantee you. Okay? It was either your mess or someone else's mess, but we all are always entering into messes, and we have to make a radical decision in our lives that, look, we understand that's the part of the Jesus life as disciples. He's called us out into a world where it is a broken world. It's a fallen world. It's a dark world. And we have to make a radical decision that we're just not going to be shallow disciples. We want our roots to grow deep. And And so I don't know if you've ever made that decision, but that's the Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I'm not going to go and preach that again because I just preached it a couple weeks ago. But it is the presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. That is what? That's holy. That's separated unto God. That's acceptable. That's pleasing to the Lord, which is my reasonable service. It's logical. It makes sense just to give my all to Him. I don't hold anything for myself. My life is dedicated to Him. And then that verse 2 goes along with it, not to adopt and adapt to things of the world. I'm not to lower my standards so that I can fit inside their mold of thinking. Okay? That's not God's will. It's to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is by the Word of God. And so that we can prove that the idea is test. You know, when I'm going through a funk, like I need to be able to, as a surrender believer, I need to be able to detect the funk that I'm in. I'm like, something is not right in my mind right now. I'm not talking about right now, but I'm just saying. But we go through seasons like that, don't we, brethren? We need to be able to detect it. Be like, something's not right. I'm not responding right. I'm not thinking about that person right. And that's that proving right there. That's that testing. Get the idea. Is this real? And when I'm surrendered to the Lord and I'm putting myself under the Word of God, I'm going to be able to test whether or not it's good, again, pleasing, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So it does got to be a radical decision to where I'm going to let the Lord grow me, and where I'm not just going to get so caught up on doing for God. I want my life to be surrounded about just being with God. And that's not spending 24 hours in the prayer closet, as we'll see here in just a moment. That's a part of it, but it's not all of it. I like this quote. It's one of my favorites. D.L. Moody says, one of the great servants of the Lord. He says, I used to carry buckets for Jesus. You get the idea there. There's the doing. But now I've found a river that's carrying me. He made that statement after a season of prayer where the Holy Spirit just dealt with him, where he was just going all out, doing everything he was doing, but there was no personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he made that transition, it was like he was on a river that was just carrying him. You know, we went to Helen this past summer. My mom and stepdad invited us up to Helen, and we went tubing. Took the kids tubing. And how many of you have been to Helen tubing? Okay, so a good many of you. It can be fun. It can be fun if there's water. Otherwise, you're up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down with your stick. Up, down, you know, moving around, you know, okay, you get it. It's not a whole lot of movement. You're not doing it. To me, that's the picture of the Christian that's just always trying to do. But when we are so filled with God, we are doing for God. We are moving forward for God, but God is carrying us. It doesn't weigh us down as much as we would just trying to do it all on our own. But it comes out of a flow of the Holy Spirit carrying us through this life. And again, it's not like we don't face stuff, because we do, but it just, there's a difference. And it comes through deep discipleship. Number two, it's to be anxious for nothing. Okay, so we understand we have feelings that God has given us. He's made us with feelings. That's found in Philippians. You know that one. Be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the what of God? The peace of God shall what? Keep your hearts and what? Minds. Your mind through who? Jesus Christ, there it is. That's that being. You're being with the Lord, and you're unleashing and releasing those feelings of anxiety, of irritability, fear, anger, impatience, and just those needs, those things there. They should be recognized so we can rightly channel them. We must confront the reality of these feelings with the reality of who God is. Someone once said, we need to talk to God about our problems, that's for sure, but we also need to talk to our problems about who our God is. We need to, sometimes it may seem silly, but you just need to face the problem you're facing right now and just tell them a little bit about our omnipotent, almighty, loving, gracious God. That He is able to take care of this. He's able to work. He's got the wisdom, the almighty, infinite wisdom, and He's working. And so the authentic spiritual life is not an escape from reality, but an absolute commitment to it. We are not about escaping reality as believers. No, my friend, we certainly do not try to escape it. We go through it with our God, who is the creator of all reality. He is reality, and He helps us when we enter into fantasy worlds thinking that we can do it different than His design. That's fantasy. That's called fantasy. All right, number three here, quickly. Another way that we strengthen being with God over doing for God is to integrate silence. You know Psalm 46:10, part of that verse says, be still and know what? That I am God. Let's just say that part of that verse together. It's Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. That's what the psalmist would say, and God wants us to take time daily to be silent. It may be in the morning or the evening where we have no TV on, we do not have the phone near us, and all we have is just silence. Maybe it's right before we get into the Word of God. I've been trying to practice it recently in my own life. I have not really, I'm just going to be transparent with you, I've not really tried to practice this before in my Christian life. It's a little different. It takes a little bit of getting used to. And I'm not telling you it has to be a certain timeline, but I just believe there's something healthy about you just getting real still in your quiet time. You have your cup of coffee there, you just set it down and you just be silent. And just if any of your thoughts go anywhere, just let them think on God. And just listen to the silence. And just what it is getting your heart and mind still. Be still. Don't let the distractions and the traffic of life go across your mind like this. Just, nope, I'm just not even thinking about anything. I'm just going to concentrate on listening to the silence in this room. And I'll allow my heart to get still, to be directed toward Him. Why? Because we are full of distractions, worries, and plans, that our inner world is jam-packed. And we want to just let there be the room for the Lord to work and fill us. Notice several things here. Being silent before the Lord gives us the opportunity to, number one, surrender our will to God's will. Okay, we don't have, in the time of silence, we're not going to be worrying about things. We're not going to be thinking about this problem. We're just going to be silent. That's a symbolic of just being surrendered. My will to God's will. Secondly, to surrender our agendas. You know, I'm sometimes in my quiet time, I'm already thinking about how I'm going to do everything during the day and what I need to do and how I need to do that. And then, oh, let me grab my phone and, you know, I'm just going to be quiet and allow that communion to the Lord to be my focus. And then that third one is allowing God's Spirit to speak to us in a still, small voice. And we know that He did that with Elijah. Psalm 143:8 says, cause me to hear Thy loving kindness in the morning. The loving kind voice of God in the morning is our goal. And I trust that that'll be your goal. And I trust that'll be your goal, and I trust that'll be my goal, to hear the voice of God. Now, I must say that that's talking about, right there, I was just talking about making sure you have a quiet time during the day, but of course, nobody can do that all day, even if you're retired. You gotta go buy groceries, you gotta pay bills, you gotta visit family, you gotta run errands, you gotta do things, right? But here's the thing, I do believe when we focus on being rather than doing, we're going to really practice communing with God all day long. Notice number 4, commune with Jesus throughout the day. That's the abiding life. That's where Jesus said in John chapter 15, he gave the illustration of the vine and the branches. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and on him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And so the goal of the disciple is to be continually conscious of God. All throughout the day, we're remembering Him. We're abiding in Him. All throughout every waking hour, we're talking with Him. We're allowing His Spirit to speak to us. And this is something we grow in, brethren, that we grow deeper in. And that's, notice where I say, do not let your doing for Jesus go beyond your being with Jesus. I do hope you commune with Him daily as friend with friend. And that's a part of our transformation goal of deeper discipleship. Any questions, thoughts on that before I close in prayer?